Hello, ladies and germs. Welcome to the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Rob the Python, Mish, here to talk about UNLV TCU. The Rebels get back on track following back-to-back overtime letdowns. They defeat the Horned Frogs 71-57 tonight at the Thomas and Mack Center. Lots to talk about from this one, Rob. I guess let's just jump right into it. We don't need any fodder here to start it off. It's too late for that. Let's jump right in. The first thing that sticks out to you when looking back on the game that was UNLV-TC.
Well, I mean, what's easily going to stand out is the full court pressure from start to finish. UNLV did that a lot the past two seasons. Now, with the inefficiency at center, Santee didn't start for a second time in a row. Kruger is going with a smaller lineup. We've been talking about that. We've been highlighting that. Now it's very apparent that he's set with this smaller guard-dominated lineup. He's going to be pressing to take advantage of the quicker, shorter, smaller, more frenetic players. And it sure worked very well tonight. It really upset what TCU did. UNLV, even the score with the Horned Frogs.
Especially TCU being a younger, more inexperienced team, especially in the backcourt. So a lot of guys probably had not seen that before and maybe didn't expect it for the full 40 like that. But a game like that is going to turn into, you're going to have some slop, and there certainly was with 47 turnovers between the two teams, but TCU had more of them.
Yeah, they sure did. It was, they didn't expect that. You know, Kruger definitely turned the tables on Jim Christian because Jim Christian had some wrinkles in his plans when UNLV went to TCU last month.
Tweaking plays, I remember we us talking about.
Yeah, you know, and that centered on the pick and rolls, and it had a lot to do with Zvonko Bujan.
Bujan.
Putting the ball on the floor and taking advantage of a couple mismatches and a couple little baseline things they were doing at TCU. So TCU comes here and gets just slapped with a full court press, and Jim Christian afterward talked about how it upset them. Because he just said that, you know, they've experienced some injuries and they don't even have 10 guys that they can practice with, you know, when they're trying to prepare for other teams. So not only can they not just flat out physically practice against a full court press, but he said in no way, shape, or form can they practice against such a press that the Rebels hit them with, mm-hmm. which was just, they were doubling, trapping the ball and just causing confusion. And Kruger said it best. It was a frantic game that UNLV had the upper hand with.
And, I heard probably every player that came into the post-game press room talking about a lot of guys would be saying, that was how we played last year. It was how we played last year. And they all sounded so upbeat about it. Like they really, welcomed this game plan that Kruger put in there for tonight's game. And it took some old school performances to pull it off. Most notably, Wink Adams, had maybe one of his more efficient games of the year. His shot selection pretty good, 21 points on 6 of 13 shooting. Got to the free throw line and hit them all. He had a pretty steady game after a couple of up and down performances, and so maybe a little bit of a throwback performance, even you could call it, for the Rebels.
Yeah, he's back to scoring 20 points, and that's what you kind of expect from Wink Adams.
It's only the fifth time this year he's done that. It was odd to look through the game notes on the season and see that he's only done that five times this season in 24 games.
Wow, that is saying something. And, it's the first time he had 20 in he had less than 20 in his past four games. So
he did it back-to-back against BYU and Wyoming, and before that Arizona, and before that once very early in the season.
All victories.
Yep.
Wouldn't you know it. So they need him. He's obviously healthy. Number one, that's what most important is for him to – be healthy and being able to do what he does. And, he's never going to really light it up and go, he's not going to give you 8 for 11 shooting nights. He's not going to go 10 for 12, 10 for 13. He'll maybe be a little below 50%. But what he's going to do and what he did tonight, again, is get to the line, 6 for 6 at the free throw line. That's just something you expect from a senior of his caliber. And let's face it, he is the leader of the team by example. Yeah. So first and foremost, they need that for their foundation, and they got it.
And don't undersell the fact that when you're comparing the two games between UNLV and TCU this year, you know, assistant coach Jim Christian talked about it. A couple of their assistants talked about it. I overheard, you know, talking about how they did not see the same Wink Adams twice.
Yeah,
now, the
right,
first time right. was January 10th. That was only about 2.5 weeks removed from the abdominal strain. And I remember us talking about it, but you pointed it out during the game in Fort Worth, saying, you know, he's not himself and that he's not driving. He's not driving and finishing hard. He wasn't doing it there.
Right. He was deferring, but you know what?
Yeah.
It was interesting after that game, though, because he sort of took exception to what I was saying. You know, I was trying to press him, you know, are you back? As in so many words, I was trying to be, you know, coy. I didn't want to be, you know, too upfront with him. But I wanted to say, you know, how close are you to be back? Because that really kind of wasn't what we saw. That really wasn't, you know, maybe he – at what stage was he at, you know, because he wasn't finishing. But he took exception to that, and he goes, well, I still got 9 assists.
Yeah.
So he was creating for others. But, see, the point of that is that he's probably most effective others creating for him and him
getting
he's
not the point guard.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, and the point guard the last few games has been Trayvon Willis, who's come on in conference play. And tonight, let's talk about him a little bit.
Let's back up to Wink real quick.
Okay.
Just real quick, because he was granted, we've already covered him with the foundation, with the scoring 20 and how important that was. But they really started off in a hole tonight.
Yeah.
You know, they were sluggish and sloppy. And next thing you know, they're down 15-4. Joe Dugger comes through with a three-pointer from the top. And then you saw Wink hit a jumper from the left baseline. He comes through with a jumper from the right side. He nails a three from the top of the key. Next thing you know, it's 17-14. Fans are breathing a little better. A few of his teammates are, you know, they've been shown the light. So I just wanted to pop that in there because Wink was really that rock that they needed. And right from the get-go, they needed him to ignite him. He did, and a lot of good things happened. Now back to the
Trayvon
Enigma.
The Enigma. That's his. I think we need to just make screw the Trey Trey nickname. I think we just call him Enigma.
He's an enigma wrapped in a conundrum.
Wrapped in whatever else we could come up with. An enigma wrapped in a conundrum.
There's some sort of Woody Allen thing in there. We're missing the third part of it, but we'll come back to it.
But
we need to talk
let's
about.
Let's recap his night.
Well, let's start with
his
night.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't exactly know how his evening started, which we can fill
our
listeners in.
But we've pieced it together a little bit.
A little bit.
Now, Lon Kruger shed some light and said, now, you noticed that first that he wasn't out there for warmups, and he didn't make his first appearance in uniform on the floor until there were 5 minutes left until the game, when they ran out on the red carpet.
Yeah, no, we didn't think that wasn't unusual
because
he's been experiencing right hamstring problems. Last Friday in practice, he did not practice, and he actually thought he wasn't going to play at New Mexico, much less start. Well, then Saturday rolls around, and he got treatment. He's getting heat and ice, and he felt good. He played and didn't do poorly. But then let's take the listeners to practice yesterday. He actually said he felt better yesterday than he did last Friday. And I think a reason for that was Dave Tomchuk, the trainer, whipped out some sort of special oil, a deep heated rub or whatever it was. And Trayvon's eyes were kind of twinkling at how deep it was and how better it was making his hamstring feel. Yet he was going to be a game time decision. And if he didn't start, then Kendall Wallace was going to get the nod. That's what Kruger told me after practice yesterday. And so we figured going into this game in warmups, layup line, he probably wouldn't be out there because
treatment
was going to be kind of a game time thing, and just see how it happened and how it felt.
Now it turns out he did not start, but he still played 28 minutes. So you're thinking
Kendall Wallace was not effective.
Not
at
effective.
All.
So you're thinking, all right, well he played 28 minutes, so maybe there was something a little more to it. Lon Kruger wound up saying it was a traffic issue.
Well, actually, Kruger alluded to the fact after the game with media, he talked about the hamstring injury. But then as we came back, started writing our stories and thinking about it, it made sense just to call Coach Kruger about 10:30, 10:45, just because some things weren't consistent. A player told me and very matter-of-factly that Trayvon had a run-in before the game. And so that made me think that, well, something's going on here that I don't really know about. And so I gave Coach Kruger a call at home, and he said it was insignificant, that there was a traffic issue. Mm-hmm. So throw that into the mix, and hopefully it wasn't an accident or anything. He sure didn't seem like he was shook up or what have you.
And the fact that Trayvon, after the game, approached him, he was buried in a hooded sweatshirt like he normally is. And
like the Grim Reaper.
Kind of just said no comment. Catch you on the flip side,
yeah,
I believe were the exact words.
Didn't want to talk and didn't even want to talk on his way outside of a tunnel and catch you on the flip side. So,
which is kind of rare, especially after, you know, we've gotten used to after a loss, you know, he'll slink away covered in a hood. After a win, though, it was a little odd.
Yeah, so something happened.
Something
and,
was up, yeah.
Probably, if it was an accident, it wasn't serious. Hopefully yeah. It was not an accident, but... you know, just thinking out loud between us, you know, we can probably surmise that whatever traffic issues there were, maybe he showed a little later than he should have and therefore did not get the nod to start.
Either way, a guy playing on a hamstring with a weak hamstring or a tweaked hamstring, whatever you call it, he's obviously had the right shoulder issue the mm-hmm. entire season.
Got a second cortisone shot last Friday morning, yep.
Still goes 4-for-4 from the floor. 11 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals in 28 minutes, and he looked all right.
It was a sort of a mini Willis Reed performance almost. In fact, he had a real there was a bang bang couple plays in the second half that I think you detailed, right?
Where he dove into the area formerly known as Gucci Row.
By the way, right at a woman wearing a red jacket and a black top, and she was the bearer of no fewer than 3 plays tonight.
I heard she has been hit 4 times this year already.
Yeah, in fact, there was a loose ball, too. Yeah. You remember Wink in the first half was thrown to Trey over on the right side. Well, unbeknownst to Wink, in the moment he threw it, Wink sort of moved to the right and out of the way, and the pass went right to her, and she caught the ball. She should have shot the 3.
She should have.
But anyway, Trayvon takes a dump.
Yeah.
A spill.
Not a dump. Maybe that's why he was late. Who knows? But he did take a spill.
Hello.
He takes a spill. He was a little ginger getting up. He was a little slow getting up. Yeah. Took his time.
Yep.
Maybe that threw TCU off. Maybe they're thinking, oh, well, he might, you know, maybe we can take some attention off of him until they get him out of the game. Boom, hits a 3.
15 seconds later?
Yeah. So
the kid's got some rope-a-dopa in him.
Yeah. He's an actor. He's an actor by trade.
He's
basketball is just a hobby.
He is really good at coming off the ropes, and he told me yesterday after practice that hey, he's a warrior. He takes a lot of pride in playing hurt and playing with injury, multiple injuries. Hey, you know, lay it all on him, and he's still going to get out there and play. And you notice
and,
what?
You know,
go ahead.
Mo Rutledge even talked about it after the game. I asked him, kind of sensing that we might not be able to talk to Trayvon. Kind of figured, ask some other guys about him. Asked Mo Rutledge. I said, do guys maybe have more respect for him as the season's worn on because of that? And he agreed for sure. He said, he essentially said, you know, he's looked at in terms of guys who speak up and guys who are listened to when they talk, he is on par with guys like Joe Darger, Wink Adams, and Rene Rougeau when they speak up. Guys listen. He said, you know, guys listen to him just like they listen to anybody else. But you know, there's a reason we call him the Enigma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, as you were saying as we were walking in here, with that guy, you just never know what you're going to get.
No, and that's the fun of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it shouldn't be all lollipops and roses and balloons, right? It should be some curveballs and different things.
For a team with so many guys that are on an even keel, very, very, don't get too high, don't get too low most of the time, you got to have that wild card in there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, that's how it all fits.
And he is definitely the wild card.
Yeah, absolutely. And he looked comfortable in his role in upsetting everything TCU want to do in the backcourt and keeping them, you know, just dogging them tonight. So these guys have a reason to play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, having just lost those 2 overtime games. Well, here they lost at TCU, so they had many reasons to be up for this game and to really lay it on them. And I think we have more of that coming up with Colorado State. They need to avenge that loss at Colorado State, but there's probably a few more things we need to talk about in this game.
A chance to get healthy against a couple teams this week and bounce back. And we talked about the revenge factor, but a couple other things to talk about from this game. Obviously, let's look at that start really quick. They were down 15-4, 17-7. I believe I wrote down 12:39 was the time when the Boo Birds actually came out off that Wink Adams turnover where he made a Andy Samuelson like jump pass out of a bunch of traffic in the lane. And so
I just wrote ugly on that play.
Yeah, it was very ugly. I threw it to no one in particular, and there was a timeout after that, and out of nowhere that 23-2 run just pops up, and team just needed a wake up call, I guess.
It was maybe ironic that UNLV comes out with the full court press and as Kruger said, established that frantic play. Maybe that kind of weaved into their game too.
Yeah.
Rushing things. They've been really trying to make a concerted effort in practice lately, slowing down, be more patient, just let it come. And so maybe we saw them forcing a few things today and in those first 8 minutes. It wasn't as bad as it looked maybe. There were some turnovers, a season-high turnovers for UNLV, 21. In fact, they haven't had that many turnovers in three seasons.
Yeah.
So that was really kind of an ordinary evening. But you go back and look at the turnovers, okay, that was sloppy, but they missed three of their first four shots.
Mm-hmm.
And they were down 15-4, and they had only attempted five shots.
Mm-hmm.
So Darger's three got them kick-started, and all they had to do was kind of tone down a little bit, and they were more patient.
Yeah, there were a lot of instances where you're seeing the ball get swung around the perimeter, and they always were making that extra pass. There was
mm-hmm.
there were a lot of extra passes tonight,
yeah.
And very rarely did it come to bite them.
And we saw less standing around on the perimeter. Also,
there was some at the very onset of the game, but understandable. There's the revenge on the line, but this is not a marquee game. Let's be honest, this is not a marquee game. It's on a Tuesday night, not a real hectic crowd in the stands.
Yeah.
It wasn't an atmosphere that necessarily brought out the animal in a team.
No, and you know what?
Right
that, from the onset. That is a cold arena typically.
But it was freezing.
Anybody
tonight,
who was in that arena tonight experienced one of the chillier arenas in a long time.
Yeah.
That Mac, it was like a morgue.
It was so cold.
And there was almost a wind in there too, like Let's leave the eight north doors open or something. I don't know what happened. Maybe a elephant escaped from the circus or wait, the circus wasn't in there.
No.
It was the rodeo.
Yeah.
So that would have been a bull.
And it was cold. It was cold. That was the first thing I noticed. My jacket didn't come off all night.
Very cold. Very, very cold. So maybe that had something to do with,
the start.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Although
took something to take their minds off of it.
Yeah, but TCU definitely had the 15-4 edge, so they weren't too chilled by it. But then the full court press chilled them.
Well, let's talk about
suitably.
Another trend that came out of this game. We talked about Darius Santee playing very little, 6 minutes. So he's played 12 minutes in two games against TCU this year. But this one came on the heels of him playing 2 minutes at New Mexico. They're pretty effective out of the small ball set. We've been talking about it, especially when they're applying pressure like they were tonight. Have we seen the last of Darius Santee playing, very significant minutes for this team? And when I say very significant, I'm thinking, 18 to 22 a game. Have we seen the last of it
for this
season at the very least?
I think we're going to have to see some very serious contributions by him in a short amount of minutes for him to get back into a solid rotation.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, this is the second half of league.
The experimental period is over.
It's
way over. We talked about it being over before their first they had that audition period the first six, seven
Absolutely.
Games. And, look how far we are in now, 20,
four games.
Yeah, it's time. It's time for Kruger to take out the short leash, and that's exactly what he's doing. You know, he said that this is the small lineup, the four guards or whatever you want to call it. That is his most productive unit. And let's face it, that's going to be Oscar, Wink, Trayvon. It's going to be Rene Rougeau and Joe Dagher. Mm-hmm. That's the main five. And if he could, I'm sure he'd like to get away with those guys going 32 minutes each.
Yep, and you're going to see Kendall Wallace, and you're going to see Kendall Wallace coming off the bench for a lot of minutes. You're going to see Mo Rutledge playing more minutes.
I don't know about a lot of minutes for Kendall Wallace.
Not a lot, but Rutledge is going to be pretty big because he can rebound.
Right, that's his job too.
Yeah.
Mo was real up front today. Yeah. You know, when he scored, he had a 3-point play that gave them the lead for good. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's just kind of gravy because his job is to go in, slop around, get some rebounds, you know, boost the intensity. So whenever he can score, it's a big plus for the team.
And you know who's been the wild card the last couple games is Deshaun Mitchell. 14 minutes in this one. He's getting regular, starting to get consistent first half minutes. He's looking more comfortable when he plays. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yep.
He doesn't look like a scared freshman out there. And he's kind of the same kind of guy. They don't need him to go in there and score, you know, 20 points, but they, you know, he's going to go in. He can get a dunk off a nice pass that'll ignite the crowd a little bit. He can slop around. He can play some good defense. He's starting to get some quality minutes, so maybe he's taking a lot of those minutes away.
This is the part of the show where we give our shout out to Newark, New Jersey, right?
Go for it. I know nothing about Newark, New Jersey.
I'll tell you what. Newark is listening to us as we speak. And your favorite son, Deshaun Mitchell, had a dunk at the end of the first half that electrified the crowd. And that's what he is, Mr. Electric. Back in Newark, you've seen his high-flying ways. He should be a trapeze artist. but he is really that infusion guy. And he got the crowd up. And as he grows and matures and gets into the system and knows all the facets of it, you're going to see more and more. And the great thing about him is he's a great kid. He's coming along, and he's not impatient.
Been very patient.
And, you got to take the good with the bad, too, because Newark, your favorite son, ran a few stairs yesterday after practice, didn't he?
Yeah. He was huffing and puffing, and he did not look happy walking off the floor.
So that usually means paper wasn't turned in, or maybe a class was missed, or whatever it was insignificant, but just significant enough for him to run the max stairs about four or five times.
After practice, that's not fun.
It isn't fun, but it gave him some extra hops today, and Newark, he could have dunked on an 11-6 rim tonight. You'd have been proud.
Well, let's look ahead a little bit. Now, Saturday night on Valentine's Day, they will they will welcome Colorado State into town. Colorado State, of course, upset UNLV 71-69 earlier in the conference season on the heels of that loss at TCU. They got revenge tonight. We would assume they're going to want revenge on Saturday. But do you think you see this same game plan, applied to Colorado State with a lot of pressure as they get ready to face for the competition to step up after that when they go to Wyoming next week, and then welcome BYU into the MAC a week from Saturday?
Well, I think you're going to see a better effort by UNLV because
there won't be any dicking around in the layup lines, is what you're saying.
Wow, you said that. I didn't.
Yeah, I'll say it.
That's pretty bold, Mr. Green.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're assuming there won't be any after last time.
Yeah, that was a strong verb, though.
Oh, dicking around?
You said it.
Oh, I'll say it. I'll say it again. Dicking around.
Wow. Okay. Well, the good thing is we have 3 days until the game, and that's a lot of time for Trayvon Willis to get treatment. And so I think he's going to be much more on his game on Saturday. So look out, Rams.
Yeah. Could be a Valentine's Day massacre.
Ooh, that was good.
My Bloody Valentine.
Did you notice what else Trayvon Willis did tonight?
What would that be?
We've talked so much this season about shoes.
Oh, you know what? Alex told me exactly what kind of shoes they were. They were the Nike. I'm trying to remember what he told me what they are. They're called the Nike Team USA Hyper Dunks.
Yeah, they've had Hyper Dunks out there. Darius Santee loves those Hyper Dunks. However, you saw the shade.
Oh, they were gray and black.
Here they're all supposed to be on the same note, white, on the same page, all wearing red. And here comes Mr. Enigma wearing what he wants to wear. Although maybe the Reds were in the trunk and maybe there was an accident and he couldn't get in the trunk.
Maybe he forgot them at home. Who knows?
Perhaps.
You never know with that kid.
You never know. That's the beauty. That's the fun of it.
He's the free spirit of this team.
Yep.
He's the Bill Walton. He's gonna walk in a tie dye shirt. That doesn't work. But you just never know. Really never know. And we're not saying he's gonna go the Dennis Rodman way where he shows up in extravagant outfits or anything like that. But he's just off in his own world mentally sometimes.
Yeah, he brings a.
And every team needs some edge.
He brings an open canvas, and so that's the fun of it.
And, you know, I think we're seeing this team continue to warm up to that maybe.
Yeah. And get more trust and more confidence and understanding who he is and what he's about and liking that and taking to it and making it a positive part of the team.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap this one up. Anything else lingering from tonight's game or experience that you want to get off your chest?
Absolutely.
What would that be?
You know what? I'm saving the very most important thing for last. I had a chance to get a couple words with Lou Hill off the court. And Lou Hill, as I'm sure many people know, 1 week ago tonight, he fell ill, had some chest discomfort, and he left the Thomas and Mack in a stretcher wearing an oxygen mask. Thankfully, 48 hours at a local hospital proved that there was nothing wrong, nothing seriously wrong. He had an angiogram. All tests proved negative, but it took a lot out of the coach. He was pretty winded at practice Sunday. That was his first. He didn't go to New Mexico. He was home resting, so he missed the game. He went back to practice. He appeared Sunday, and he was pretty winded. He mostly sat in a front court chair. He barely talked above a whisper. And he said, thanks to everybody for their thoughts and wishes and prayers, and he's doing fine. Well, there he is back on the bench today, and as he walked off the court, I asked him how great it was to be back on the bench, and he said he couldn't even put it into words. It was wonderful, and he's getting stronger every day, getting better. He's got a few lifestyle changes to make, and so that's great news.
Very great news. Mm-hmm. I can't top that, so I'm going to
end it right there. Adios.
We will talk to you Saturday on Valentine's Day for the Bloody Massacre.
Bloody?
Man, I like that. Bloody Massacre. The Bloody Massacre. I don't have a good English accent.
You play football.
American. Real football.
Oh, with pads, the wussy kind.
Yeah, exactly. All right, for Rob Mish, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you Saturday. Take care.